Welcome to the Late Breaks Hot Takes American F1 Podcast, bringing you post-race analysis, predictions, sports betting, and often outrageous hot takes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at F1 Hot Takes Pod. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to Late Breaks Hot Takes, this episode brought to you by booze. Zeno, how much of it did you need to get through the results of that race after the epic Ferrari collapse?
A lot. That's all I have to say. Oh my God, man. I think I texted you guys, like, I'm just no longer a Ferrari fan. I'm over it. I'm just fucking over it. I can't stand it anymore. I'm done. Now, I reserve the right to go back on that statement after summer break, but for now, I'm out.
That's the NC State in you. Because if I was an Italian Ferrari fan, I would be writing my congressperson or whatever they have over there, parliamentary representative, who knows? I'll be writing that person. I would be out with my fucking tiki torch in front of the Ferrari factory.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, we should be burning that place down. It's an embarrassment to the Italian nationality.
Dude, it is. Like, I'm just, it's so bad, man. Like, it's so bad. I just don't understand how you can make so many wrong decisions, so many races over and over and over and over again, and then have the balls to be like, oh, no, it wasn't the strategy. It was the car. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm just so frustrated. So, yeah, that was how I felt. So, yeah. A lot of booze.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm not even a Ferrari fan, and I was, like, pissed off after that race.
It's ridiculous, dude. Like,
I sat stewing. You could probably tell by my text messages throughout the rest of the day. I was stewing on it, and I was getting freaking angry.
Welcome to my world. Why do you think that I am the way that I am?
Every decision that was made was the wrong decision.
Wrong.
There was no right decisions except for maybe pulling the plug on Leclerc and putting him on the sauce.
Maybe.
And maybe even the right move there was. Well, so that was the funny part about that. And I don't know if we want to go back and kind of explain ourselves here, but their whole, after the race, they said that their simulation said that the hard tires took 11 laps to warm up.
Yep.
And then they came on the radio and told Leclerc, they said, I think it was like information, hard tires taking longer than expected to warm up. Okay. So what's longer than 11? I don't know, maybe 15. And then at 15, they pulled the plug on him. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Heads should be rolling. Like, people should have missed the team plane. You know, just leave them in fucking, where were we? Hungary, to fend for themselves to get back to Italy.
It baffles me. Like I said, I just don't get it that you have the balls to come out and say you made the right decision from a strategic standpoint. It was the car that wasn't fast enough that, but yet you put on the soft tires and Charles has the second fastest lap of the whole race. And he looked so fucking quick originally with the mediums on. Like, it just baffles me. Like, absolutely, positively baffles me. I don't know.
Should we go through it?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
I think we should. But I think Mattia has got to go. I don't know. If he comes out and says that there was nothing wrong with the strategy, he's in charge of the team. He's ultimately responsible for the strategy. And if he doesn't see anything wrong with that, he's got to go.
But everybody's got to go because they're going to replace him with somebody who's been on the team making those losing decisions year after year after year.
I will say this. We don't know what the inner workings of the team is. So there might be someone being like, why are we doing this? Don't do that. And like,
you don't really know
who's making that call.
It'd be really, really scary if nobody in the team wasn't thinking exactly
what you can tell by the look on the pit crew and the mechanics' faces at the end of that race that they knew that they blew it.
Yeah.
They knew that they blew it.
So I don't want to say it's the whole team. I think it's the people in charge.
But you got to get rid of all the company men, right? because
yeah,
I don't know. It goes back to what I said last week, where they're not good at thinking on their feet, right? So they run these simulations. They're like, yep, medium hard is the right strategy. And then they go and do the medium hard regardless, right? There's no adjustments. Whereas you look at Max and Checo, we're going to start on the hards. And then on their warm-up laps, they're like, oh, this ain't going to work. And they put the softs on and Max freaking wins it. You know, it's, I don't know.
We can get into it, but yeah.
Cole, do you want to break it down?
Yeah. So for those who who didn't watch the race and look for us to catch up,
which is nobody, by the way,
which was not very, it's not very many people, but for the one or two of you out there, look, here's what happened. Carlos Sainz started in second. Leclerc started in third. George Russell had a really lucky, not lucky. George Russell was on pole starting the race.
They timed it out. He was the last man across
the last line. Man on track. They played
George
it perfectly.
Russell is the greatest driver ever to drive. So what do you mean lucky?
Shut your mouth.
He's Mr. Saturday.
Did his job. Put it on pole. But you had Ferrari in two and three in a track that, for all intents and purposes, may as well have been made for this car. It requires high downforce, good on tire deg, straight line speed. Not really that important because there's not a whole hell of a lot of straight lines on this track. In fact, that the DRS zone has to be split in two because there's a kink on where the longest straight actually is. So, primed for these guys. Max starting in 10, Checo in 11. It's like, okay, this is the opportunity for Ferrari to start to close the gap, going on the summer break with a win. And like we said earlier, every single decision that they made from the second the green flag went out was incorrect. I put this failure on like that. What year was that Super Bowl when it was the Seahawks were on against Patriots? They were on like the 1 yard line. It was like 6 seconds left on the clock. Everybody in the world was saying, "Hey, all you have to do is hand Russell Wilson the ball, and I don't know, move three inches forward."
Yeah.
And you win the Super Bowl, and they threw a pass for an interception. And the dumbest play in the history of sports lost that. They just got overtaken by Ferrari strategy calls in this race. Because they
It was Marshawn Lynch, not Wilson.
Marshawn Lynch. But you know what? Russell Wilson could have brought it in 6 inches for a touchdown, too. Yeah. So regardless, they made all the wrong calls. They pulled in Carlos Sainz too early on the mediums.
Yeah. Let's go through it. So George Russell starts on softs from pole.
Yep.
Leclerc and Sainz,
mediums.
2-3. Well, yeah, Sainz, Leclerc, 2-3 on mediums. Okay. So the race starts, and they let George build a 2 to 3 second gap, right? For whatever reason, I don't
– Carl right, we, sucks, that's why.
Well, if you didn't have the pace, whatever, right? I think that they were – well, it seemed at the time that they were saving their tires because they were going to go long on the medium.
That's the way I saw it. Well, too. That's what I saw. Because Leclerc wasn't pressing behind Sainz either.
Leclerc was not. Yeah, he was not getting within DRS. He was staying at least like a second and a half behind.
Yep. Right. So the first mistake was, if their plan was not to go long on the mediums, then they should have pushed it. And if Carlos doesn't have the pace, let Leclerc through. Right. Yep, but they don't do that.
Nope.
They hang Charles behind Carlos for what, the first 17 laps. Okay. Then Russell comes into pit because his soft tires are destroyed. Okay. And what do? They panic and they bring in Carlos Sainz to cover off.
So Carlos had complained about his tires. That's all I'm going to say. His pace was not there. He did complain that he couldn't go. He said something like,
no, he said,
I can't keep going on these mediums, or I can't keep this pace on the medium, something like that.
Right.
Or but we need to come in.
But here's the thing. And this is where I thought the pit wall had their first fuck up of the day. He said, I can't keep going at this pace on these mediums. He was doing an okay pace. He didn't need to push that hard, but B, his pit wall also said, your pace is fine. Put your head down and race. Because he was fine.
Here's the biggest problem that has plagued Ferrari this whole fucking year is they won't admit that Charles Leclerc is a better fucking driver than Carlos Sainz. Because what happens is, if you look, Charles gets behind Carlos in the DRS zone, and now Charles is pushing him. And instead of saying, let him by, they just pit Carlos because it's easier to say, yeah, come box, instead of having to make a fucking decision to say, let him by. And that's exactly what the problem was. Because it's been like that many times where they'll do like three or four laps, see if Carlos can actually keep up.
Yeah, see, like, I disagree with that. Usually in the past races, I've said they just need to get Carlos out of the way. Either tell him, do it, or get out of the way. They weren't, if you look over the radio, Leclerc wasn't asking to be let by. He wasn't saying he's faster. He did once. And then what happened? They came up.
He only ever does it once, unless they do three or four more laps.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it a lot.
I don't know. I think that it was part of their strategy was to keep Leclerc behind, let Carlos push on George so that George would burn his tires, and then Leclerc would be able to get by easily, but they didn't do that.
Well, because Carlos couldn't catch George. Like, it was pathetic. I mean, it was pretty bad. When you have a faster car, by then your tires should be in the range. He couldn't catch him.
He was on softs.
Yeah, but I mean, his softs were going. That's why he pitted. And Carlos is on the mediums. You should be able to get around him, where the Ferrari looked great on the medium. That was the only tire they really performed on. Yeah. Like, amazingly. So he just could not cut it. And I think Ferrari's scared to say, for whatever reason, I don't fucking get it, but they're scared.
Yeah, I don't put any of this on Carlos. I think he did a fine job.
I don't think it's Carlos' fault.
He's on a better... George was on a better compound. I think it's Ferrari's fault
for not saying fucking move aside.
Yeah, but what was their strategy? Were they trying to push? Were they trying to save tires? They just didn't know what they were doing. And then they just pit Carlos to pull an overtake or the overcut. It doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that?
That's what I'm saying. They did it because they don't want to say move aside. For whatever reason, they're scared to have this weird driver conflict in the squad, in the team. And I don't understand it. Everything they do, if you look at their, like, what they comes out of that squad, of that team, I don't keep calling them squad, but what comes out of the team is like, there was no number one driver. We're a team. Everyone's equal, blah, 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 all this bullshit. And they try to make their decisions reflect that, which is dumb because it screws up their fucking race every time.
Well, Carlos did out-qualify Leclerc in this race. So by all typical F1 convention, he deserved the preferred strategy, at least until the first pit stop. But I would say in this case, they did not give him the preferred strategy, because if they were worried about covering off, if you think about the preferred strategy, should have been, if it was truly given to Carlos, they would have pitted Leclerc to cover off George and let Carlos go long, because it was cold, the tires are struggling to warm up, so an undercut was never really going to work that well at that point in the race.
The undercut did work. Max did the undercut. It worked great.
Yeah, but it wasn't going to work that early in the race because there wasn't enough rubber on the track. So the track was getting like progressively.
Max did it then.
Max undercut Lewis.
Yeah, but it was like really. It was like 10 laps later.
No.
No, Max pitted on the same lap as George.
So that was the other thing, is that they were petrified of Max. And so they were basically going to do whatever Max did was their strategy. Just do what Max does. Right. And
but it doesn't make any sense because they're starting on different strategies.
I agree, but that's why they did it.
I don't know. It's amazing to me that everybody watching on TV, probably everybody in the stands, the commentators, everybody else on the pit wall, realized like they messed this up.
It's weird because if you look at how the race went, when Max pitted the first time, they brought in Carlos because Carlos was leading. When Max pitted the second time, they brought in Charles because Charles was ahead. And it's almost like they forgot who was the longer stint and who was the shorter stint. And it just makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah.
What they did and just.
Right. So anyway, dumb. They immediately gave away Carlos's advantage on the medium tires.
Yep.
Right. He's now essentially on the same. He's on the same strategy as Max and George, except he has to go medium soft still, whereas they're both medium.
Yep.
So Carlos from that moment, I believe, was screwed. Yep.
But at that point, they had still thought
Leclerc was still in it.
Well, no, but they still thought the hard was going to work, the hard tire. They didn't really have the data at that point. So I don't want to give them a pass because they're fucking stupid, but I can kind of see where they're coming from at that point, I guess.
I don't know, because the people who went on to the hards were slow as fuck. Because there were other drivers. It wasn't like there was no other drivers for them to know that the hards weren't working. The hards weren't working for anybody.
Yeah, but they
you could tell by in the cooldown room when Max, Lewis, and George are all laughing at the fact that Charles went on the hards.
Yes, but
that wasn't even considered for their strategy.
Yeah,
as soon as the race started, they never considered going on hards.
Yes. Well, no, as soon as the Alpines put the hards on, no one considered it because they're like, oh, it's shit. But the Alpines didn't put it on until the first pit stop.
No, I think Red Bull knew immediately. And Mercedes maybe.
So I'm looking at it right now. So Mick Schumacher went on to the hards on lap 21.
Well, K-Mag went on.
K-Mag did it on lap 6.
When do they all pit?
11? When they went on to the hards?
No, when was the first pit by Carlos?
The first pit by 18. Carlos was lap, yeah, lap at the end of lap 18. 17, so 18.
So if they thought it was going to be 11 laps for those tires to warm up, then they didn't have the full data, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but Leclerc didn't come in for the hards until lap
49. I'm not talking about the second pit stop. I'm talking about the first pit stop and why they brought Carlos in so early. I'm saying the reason they mimicked Max is because their original plan was to go onto the hards, and they didn't have the data that showed that it was a shit tire at that point. So it kind of makes a little bit of sense why they did what they did.
Yes, but still,
everybody. I agree with you, but I'm telling you,
I don't think anybody. I don't think it makes any sense at all. I don't think there's an excuse for that. I mean,
you could tell by Mercedes and.
Because at that point, they all knew the hard was shit. So, yeah.
Red Bull knew before the race started. So, how did they know something nobody else knew?
Well, they knew the start on it would be just atrocious. There was no chance.
Right. And before all the data came out, Lewis also knew that he wasn't going on hards.
How do you know that?
Because they sent him out long on the mediums.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, in a two-stopper, you would never go long on the mediums if you're going to switch over to hards at some point.
By the time Charles went on the hard, there was enough data to say that the hard sucked.
Oh, agree. When Charles went on the hard, fucking stupid as shit. Absolutely. I'm trying to argue about why they brought Carlos in with Max originally. There's nothing to do with this is the first pit stop for Carlos. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't
about.
Think it had anything to do with Max. I think it had everything to do with George Russell. And they were reacting to Mercedes' strategy.
They reacted to Max. If you listen to all the radios, they're giving the gap to Max. They didn't give a shit about George.
They were more worried about playing defense against Max Verstappen than the dude that was ahead of them.
Yep. Absolutely.
I went back and listened to the first like 20 laps of race radio and I never heard that, but it's totally possible that it happened.
They were giving gaps to Max and then whoever was in front of them. And you only give it to Max if you're worried about Max. And I think they even came out and said we were worried about Verstappen.
That's a dumb thing to be worried about when you could easily have gotten putting yourself in the first place.
No, I think they thought that Mercedes was not a competitor.
They thought they'd get past Mercedes really quickly and then make a gap and then manage the gap between Verstappen. And then Carlos couldn't get ahead of them. And then they were like, oh, fuck, Max is charging. And that's when they got really worried about Max.
But that's even more dumb. Because if you could,
I'm not saying it's the right call. I'm just telling you what's happening.
I find it hard to believe that they could be that stupid.
Have you not watched F1 all year? I'm a Ferrari fan, and I can't even find that hard to believe.
Well, because even so, they gave Carlos that radio message, box, box.
Yep.
And then that was either Carlos saying absolutely not, or it was to do whatever Russell doesn't.
It was to do whatever Russell doesn't.
Right. So either way, they're reacting to Russell, not Max.
But But Max had already boxed.
No.
Yeah,
Max came in.
Max was behind him.
Max came in the same lap as Russell.
Did he really?
Yeah. Lap 16.
Yep.
I don't know.
It is. I'm looking at it right now. And then Carlos came in on lap 17 after lap 17.
Well, they were trying. I originally thought that was a bluff to get Russell to box. So that was, so I was like, oh, cool,
right.
Whatever.
But so it's baffling because we don't know what it was. They either wanted Carlos to pit first on the mediums to protect undercut against Max and George.
On tires that still had plenty of life in them.
On tires that still had plenty of life.
He did complain about his tires. You can't.
Yeah, but everybody complains about their tires. Lewis would do it and drive for 40 more laps.
Lewis was saying tires are fine, man.
Yeah, I don't, that's a whole other thing. But I'm just saying, every driver complains about their tires. The pit wall can look at the data. I had the data pulled up on my F1 app. He was doing fine.
Yeah.
He wasn't going slower. He was not losing time.
Like I said before, though, Charles had caught him, and they don't want to play that game for some stupid reason. They don't want to hold up Charles. And they were worried about Max. They probably saw that he pitted. They didn't want. They were scared about the undercut, and they brought him in.
Yeah. So regardless of what the decision was, they totally screwed up by bringing Carlos in that early.
Regardless of Carlos, I mean, I don't even think that's whatever.
Well, the whole point here is that they threw away what should have been a 1-2. They had 1-2 in the bag.
In the bag. And if not a 1-2, they had a double podium in the bag. Like if Red Bull, like if something in their strategy had gone perfect and everything, they had probably a 1-3. There's no excuse I could work backwards to that Mercedes should take a 1-2 or a 2-3 in this. Like it just shouldn't be the case.
I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's shitty. Welcome to being a Ferrari fan.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal.
It sucks.
You know, the most sad place on the internet was I found this Facebook group that was, it's like the Ferrari, USA Ferrari fan clubs and like a fan club. And I tried to figure out how to share it with you guys and it wouldn't let me share the link for some reason. But it was just like, it had to have been the saddest place on the internet. Just the posts and the memes. It was quite
sad. Fucking annoying is what it is.
Yeah. But it sucks because now we're, Ferrari's incompetence is robbing us of what should be a fun fight at the front to watch. Instead, it's just like watching a slow, miserable death.
Well, Leclerc should be winning the championship by a lot. If you really look at how many fuck-ups they've had, it's ridiculous.
Cole, do you have in front of you what lap the Alpines pitted?
Yeah, so...
They went
Fernando
on...
Fernando went on right? to... The Hards on lap 21 and Ocon on 23.
Okay. And Leclerc went on mediums on 22. So at this point,
yes,
Leclerc is on the right strategy, right? 22 on the medium on the first stint, yeah. I think is perfect.
Leclerc's still on the perfect strategy. Yeah.
Yep.
He scampers out in front, right? He overcut Sainz. I think he passed Russell on track, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Which is legit. Okay. So then we get to the next pit stops. And so after running in 22.
Not only is he past Russell, but he's pulling away comfortably.
Yeah. Right. He had built up like a 3.8, almost a 4-second gap, I think, right?
Yeah, at least a 4. Yeah, it was comfortable.
All right. So then Max pits on 39. So Max did 22 laps on medium, the same that Leclerc did on the first stint. Okay, Max pits for his second set of mediums. Then they react to that and immediately bring Leclerc in lap 40, which is only 18 on the mediums, and they put him on hards.
So that's two. We've been talking about Ferrari's getting better with tire deg, but that's two times in this race with one with Carlos, one with Leclerc, that they did not go nearly as long as others did or should have on the medium tires. Were they struggling with tire deg more in this race, you think, than normal?
No.
Did they just pull them in early?
I think that was a panic.
Charles Leclerc came out and said, "The tire is great. Don't bring me in. I want to go as long as I can."
Right.
Because we saw what Hamilton did on the soft tires at the end. He was 2 seconds faster than anybody else on track.
Yep. Yeah.
And if Leclerc had run even 5 more laps, I think he and gone on to the softs, maybe 8, right? Give himself 22 on softs. That's probably like right around the max of what you could do, because Sainz came in on 48. And so Sainz did 22 on the softs and his kind of died at the end. So maybe go, you know, 19, 20, or sorry. Yeah, leave yourself 19 or 20, come in on lap 49, 50.
Yep.
For the softs, he easily would have chased down Verstappen. Easily.
Yeah. And even if he didn't get past Verstappen, he's in second place instead of
right.
fifth, sixth. Where did he finish? Sixth.
Sixth.
And at that point, so you said the Alpines pitted on 23. Yep. So they have
21 and 23. Yep.
Right. So 21, if they think it's going to be 11, which they didn't because they came and said new information longer than expected. So say 15, that's still after. So they had 15 laps of data, at least just from the Alpines, plus the Haases. And I think Norris and Ricardo at that point too, they were both on hards at some point.
Not at that point.
Ricardo was.
Ricardo might have been. I don't think Norris was. But they had 20.
No, they both were.
What lap did he come in for hards?
Leclerc, 40.
40? So K-Mag changed off of his first set of hards on lap 30. So they had a full tire life cycle of data right. available to them when they still made that decision.
Right. And not to mention, somehow everybody else in the world knew that those hards weren't going to work.
Yeah,
it's you're right. Unbelievably
Leclerc. Bad. Leclerc knew that those hards weren't going to work.
Yeah,
it doesn't obvious. Make any sense.
He said it. He said it over the radio. This is where it's funny, because I saw a meme afterwards that was like, or it wasn't even a meme. It was just a photo of like Leclerc and Seb talking after the race. And it was like, I wonder what they're talking about. And this is Seb. It was probably Seb saying, you know, I got shit for so many years because I questioned every call that this team made strategy-wise, you know, while I was there. And now you're learning why. Because it's – and that's why got a bad reputation at Ferrari for making his own calls in the cockpit, because he's got no faith in what's going on the wall.
And that's why Zeno hates Sainz, because he's not a team player. And that's why I think probably a lot of people are in the same boat. A lot of the Tifosi are in the same boat, because Leclerc doesn't seem to question anything, at least publicly. He goes along. He's a team player. And
it's not why I hate
Sainz. It's going to cost him a world championship.
It's going to.
I made it very clear why I hate Sainz. There's a great article on latebreaks.com on why I hate Carlos Sainz. But anyway.
Forget Carlos Sainz in this conversation. We don't need to rehash that again. But
I can't remember your 95 point thesis on why
I think it's pretty simple. He fucking sucks. I mean,
there's nepotism, long hair.
Spanish. No, dude, I love long hair. Don't fuck with me. Like, that's the only thing he's got going for him.
He drives a golf.
Actually, I do like that he drives a golf. But
yeah. But regardless, Leclerc needs to start making his own calls. Or
I think so too.
But like, how? Like, honest to God, how do you do that in the cockpit when you don't? So like, let's say he's in a no-win situation. Let's say he's in the cockpit and they're telling him to pit for the hards. And he's like, no, go fuck yourself. And he stays out in the mediums, but maybe the hard is the right call. Somehow, some way, the Ferrari can somehow turn the tire on. I have no fucking idea.
I would get that.
He loses the race.
See, I would totally understand that. And I'm going to use one of your favorite talking points. I'm going to use Lando's situation. I did not agree with what Lando did, because for every other race in that season, McLaren made the right strategy call for their race. Like, there was no blunders. So he went on a one-off decision, went with his gut to stay out, which fucked him over when they had radar data showing there was rain coming, right? And even Nikita Mazepin knew that there was rain coming. So, but historically,
the Russian clouds are hard to read.
Historically, though, they were making the right strategy call. Ferrari has historically, well, I'm not even talking about like last 10 years of F1. I'm talking about this year with Leclerc, has shown they have no idea what the fuck they're doing on strategy. So at some point, you can't rely on, oh, 99.9% of the time my team gets it right. You got to be like, eh, it might be 50-50 if they're right here, so I'm going to go with my gut. And that's what he's going to start doing. So when they say pit for hards and he doesn't want to pit for hards,
but they don't say, they don't say pit for hards. They just say box.
No, they usually tell them what to pit for because they'll put on...
Unless they're not showing that part of the radio on F1 TV, they just say box, 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 box.
I mean, they told him they were going on to the hards.
No, they didn't.
The lap before, they said, when you come in, you're coming in for hards. And he said, I want to stay out the mediums.
Yes. That was like two laps before.
No, they know what they're doing because they changed their settings depending on what tires they're putting on. So that way they have different, like... heat going into the tires. They've got different like torque settings for the or diff settings for the rear end. They tell him all that.
It's just that right then and there. They told him he was going to go in the hards. He says, I want to stay in the medium. And then there's no conversation. It's just a lap or two later, box, box, box.
So he should say, confirm I'm going on to the mediums when I come in.
Well, they didn't have
me. Were they going to lie to him?
But...
or whatever it was. going on to the softs. Or...
yeah. Like, and maybe this is where Charles can get a little bit better. I mean, he shouldn't have to, right? The only reason we're saying this is because his team is incompetent, but he needs to ask, well, what is everybody else on? What, because we've heard Hamilton in the past, what tires is Max on?
Right.
What tires is Valtteri on? Right. What is Max lapping? What's his pace? Can he match that pace? Right. If he knows that he can match the pace that Max
does. All that stuff is communicated. Like, all that's communicated. They all know that.
So, if Charles has all that information, then he should be able to make
okay. It. Like I said, he said he did not want to go on the hards and that he wanted to stay out in the mediums.
He's driving the car, is my point.
Oh, okay, so he's just not going to listen to anything. Just be like, fuck you. I'm going to
come in. Yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point in the season, how many times have they fucked it up? Yeah.
You commend Lewis Hamilton for listening to his team during the Lando Norris incident when he's like, no, I want to stay out. Like, no, you're getting
because his team gets it right like 99% of the time. It is rare occasion that they get it wrong. Ferrari more often than not gets it wrong.
I get your point, but those two argue back and forth all the time on strategy. Like, Pick it. Is it listen to the team because they have all the data, or is it listen to your gut? Like, I don't understand how you can say something right.
I think Cole's distinction is right. I think Lewis Hamilton at this
point. But if you don't trust your team, then what are you doing? Like
losing races.
No, but
taking wins that should be taking races that should be wins and finishing sixth, or however many times that they fucked them up.
But it's like.
They cost them Monaco.
Think of the bigger. It cost them a lot more race than just Monaco.
Right. But, so at some point,
but and after it's every race, they have a conversation. Situation. Obviously, saying, "Hey, we're gonna do better. We gotta whatever that
it's
conversation."
Like battered, it's like battered wife syndrome.
I completely agree with you. Nothing changes, but you have to. You can't just leave that and be like, "Well, all that's a lie. There's no way that's gonna happen." Like, you have to have some faith.
I mean.
Or else you become like Seb at the end of his Ferrari stint, where he just hated the world, and then he was so pissed off at everything that his results sucked. Georgie Russell, Georgie boy, after he not fucked up, but after he got the puncture in Baku.
When was that?
A couple years ago, when he got the drive for Mercedes instead of Williams. Remember, he had the win Bahrain.
Yeah. No, I don't remember him being that sad.
He was sad.
But like Lando was like. Openly weeping. Charles is just totally dejected.
Yeah.
And I think he just says, hey, I'm going to race for Charles now. Right.
I think he's got to.
It's a no win situation. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just, it's easier said than done.
What he can do is argue with them long enough to where he forces the decision, right? Just keep asking questions. And that by that point, it's four laps later and it doesn't make sense to come in anymore.
Honestly, he just needs to leave Ferrari.
I was going to say, I mean, it's a two-way street too, right? Like, he doesn't trust, he shouldn't trust the pit wall, but it sounds like the pit wall doesn't trust him. If he's telling them, hey, I'm good on these tires for four more laps, like, they're not seemingly giving a fuck about what he says either. So
they live and die by the simulator, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, it sounds like the only way he's ever going to win a championship is if, I don't know, Red Bull leaves F1, Mercedes leaves F1, or he leaves Ferrari.
Or they find someone who can get in there and be like, stop fucking listening to the goddamn simulator and do the things that make sense. Like, it's not that hard.
Whatever the European version of Brinks is, they should drive it from fucking Italy, get it on a ferry across the English Channel, and back it up to Hannah Schmidt's driveway.
Yes.
And say, here you go.
Back up to my driveway. They can give me $100. I can do better strategy.
You know what? Doing. Like, I'll pay them $100 for the opportunity.
I'm even Italian. Like, you don't have to go like fucking different nationality. Cause that's, I
bring me a pepperoni pizza and some raviolis and I'll run your fucking strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll work for some meatballs and a glass of wine.
That's their biggest problem is that, and I love the fact that they're Italian. That's why I love Ferrari, but they don't bring the best people in. They bring the best Italians in. So they're missing so much more talent out there. It's just stupid.
But you can't tell me there's not some, you know, and it's always like a, you know, like all these armchair quarterbacks think that they could call plays better than whatever. But there are, like,
we got two of them on this fucking podcast right now.
You damn straight. There are like Madden players, and you can kind of tell it in the NFL. We're working that way, right? Like these young coaches, like Sean McVay, who grew up playing Madden, they're different. Right. Then these old like gruff types, Ron Rivera, this is my strategy. Right. But this is some, and somebody else was joking about this, but they should have a Ferrari audition mode on the F1 manager game and just like
that
online
would be
tournament.
Such a great, great mod. Do you know how many copies of that game they would sell? We need to tweet this into reality.
They should scour the online leaderboards for all the managers who took Ferrari to world championships and give them a freaking audition for strategists. It's I don't see
it. Ferrari tryout mode. I love it.
I really do hate that every, I know it doesn't come across like it. I hate that every podcast we've done in the last like 4 weeks has been just us talking shit about Ferrari.
Yeah. That's exactly. It's been you two talking shit to me about Ferrari. It's been great.
Ferrari too.
Well, usually I got to stand up for them and I get. But they
did this week was so indefensible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't even. There's a couple things I can try to defend, but everything else, it's just like, I have no fucking. I don't even get where they're coming from.
Yeah.
No.
And then, like I said, to have the balls to come out and be like, it wasn't the strategy. It's like, dude, the fuck is wrong with you? It's like,
well, that's even worse because those like strategist positions are, I'm guessing, upper management, right? Whoever's making those calls is like C-suite.
I would hope so.
Right. But it's, and like, so basically what they're saying is the mechanics who are setting up the car fucked up.
Here's what pisses me off, right? Last week, Charles spins. First thing he says, hey, it's on me. I fucked up. Whether that, I still don't think that's right, but he takes ownership. Like, it was my fault, whatever. Keeps the story away from Ferrari. The second they fuck up, well, it wasn't us, it was the car. Even Carlos was like, well, we just found the pace. Like, nobody, you didn't have the pace. The pace was in the car. But
Sainz had the pace for a podium. maybe not the victory in him.
That's but, some of the reason why I don't like Carlos Sainz, is that it's all about Carlos Sainz.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what
I said earlier.
Right? It's protect the brand at all costs.
Look at last week when I don't remember what Carlos came. He was on the podium, wasn't he? I don't remember. But he was like, I had a great race, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't even mention Charles. The first thing Charles says whenever, the many times that Carlos has gone to the gravel to have a little gravel party, is like, I'm so sorry to Carlos. I feel bad. Like, I'm wrecked for him. At least acknowledge the fact that he doesn't feel like he feels bad for him. Carlos could give two fucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about Ferrari.
Ferrari and their god-awful strategy, and it'll probably get brought up again.
Probably have to podcast, go through it,
but for sure later this season. Let's talk about the other side, which was perhaps perfection from Max Verstappen, strategist, and moving him from P10 up into P1.
Yep.
Well, on a Max track that he was never the fastest, really.
Can I just say, I don't think it was that like perfection of a strategy. I thought it was pretty obvious. Like, they didn't do anything crazy.
No, but it worked.
Right? Oh, it worked great. But when you have you have one of the fastest cars out there, yeah. And you have a team that shoots themselves in the foot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, they executed the perfect strategy. If, in fact, that they were, Ferrari was worried so much about Max, then, you know, that you think that they maybe forced him into a stopping early with Carlos, and or that factored into the decision at least. And
so here's the other thing. Sorry. So they, when Max came out of the pits on lap 39, he was 26 seconds behind
Charles.
So if they're covering off the undercut, that's a mega freaking undercut.
Mega.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so even if they wait 10 more, so if Max can somehow pull off 2 seconds a lap, right? That gives them essentially, if you want to leave a 10-second gap for Charles on the hards, right? Wait five, six laps and then come out on the softs. Like, they had options. They did not have to defend the undercut.
No.
I think Max, was kind of gifted a little bit there. It would have been, I think we all agreed that the medium, soft, you know, soft, medium, soft is kind of the same, but it's better to be on the soft tires at the end of the race. So I think if they had played it right, which they did the first stop from Leclerc, then we would have at least had an on-track battle for the win. Right.
Right.
But instead they let Max freaking scamper. He basically coasted that last lap.
I mean, it was a joke,
but he won by 11 seconds with a spin.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Right? He did a 360 and won by 11 seconds. That's ridiculous, right? So,
ridiculous.
But it was, they executed the perfect strategy, whether it was obvious or not. They ran their own race. They didn't react to what other people were doing. And they pulled it off. 10th to first at a track that nobody thought you could overtake at is spectacular. It's why Max Verstappen's a champion. It's why Red Bull is as good as they are.
It was a good race from Checo too. I mean, he worked his way back up to P5. He didn't make it as far back as Max, but he never really had the pace all weekend.
Can we talk about this floor conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
All right, so word on the street is that, okay, so the new floor rules are coming in Belgium, right? So where apparently Ferrari and Red Bull have had this floor that goes against the spirit of the rules or whatever. So the new technical directive coming out in Belgium is said to impact Ferrari and Red Bull. Now, what they're saying is Perez has been running the new floor since France, where he hasn't done very good. And you guys said his race pace looked okay, but his qualifying pace has been very bad.
Yeah, very bad.
And so if they're one lap pace, they're not going to be able to win races coming from 10th and 11th every week. Right.
What's their motivation for that, though? That makes no sense to me why they'd have
to get data.
Get data, because if there's something fundamentally wrong with it, they get a couple races to adjust it.
And just to figure out how it's going to affect
them. They have air time for that, though.
Nah, they don't have very much, though, because it's all restricted this year. And they won, and they were in second place.
Yeah, but for something as important as the floor, I would think they'd use their air tunnel time for that.
Use some of it, but they also look at it like they're out to a good lead in the constructive championship. Checo's not. Maybe this is a way of making sure Checo doesn't fight against Max for the championship. So let's run it through the tunnels, make sure it checks wind tunnels, make sure it checks the boxes, and then get it on the track to see how it actually performs in the race.
I don't think they are worried at all about their ability to win either the Drivers' Championship or the Constructors' Cup. I think it's pretty much done. It's just a matter of when, not if. So there's really no downside in doing it.
I don't think they're doing that. I don't think it makes sense. Red Bull wants every point. They want double podiums. They want it all.
I'm sure they ran through the wind tunnel to make sure it wasn't going to send them to the back of the grid with a new floor. Because I was gonna say, rather than spending say 100 hours in the wind tunnel, they probably spent 30. It should promise, and so they went ahead and put it on Checo's car. Maybe I'm not convinced that that's the case because he had his race pace. His race pace was there, so I mean, it would sort of shock me if the race pace was there, but the quality pace was so far off. And the other thing that I saw Helmut's always kind of just talking, but he came out and said that Checo is basically running his own setups again. And that they're going to start making him work his way back towards using Max's setup because that's what was working for him. So I would take that with a grain of salt because
I've also heard they've tailored the upgrades to Max's driving style, not the floor, but just upgrades in general, and that's why it's not going as well for Checo, or he just can't figure him out. I guess I don't know, but
I just think
I find it very hard to believe that they'd run two separate floors. And they wouldn't give it to Max to like, because I mean, like I said, they do everything
slower,
but they know it's going
to
be bad.
Yeah, but right? They tailor everything to Max's driving style, so they're going to want to see if he's like they're going to want to run an FP1, FP2, FP3 with Max, and it's Checo's been considerably slower and throughout the whole weekend, not just in quality in the race. So I don't know. I find it hard.
It's something we need to keep our eye on though, because it could be like, and Ferrari too. Is allegedly the other, nobody's confirmed it, but the prevailing wisdom is that Ferrari and Red Bull have these now illegal floors.
Who cares?
I'm not really buying it because they have to, new parts have to go through an FIA like inspection process when they're introduced, and those are public, those get published that certain teams.
But so then what's upgrades. The point? But then what's the point of the technical? Somebody's doing it. Because they wouldn't have issued a technical directive if they were.
But what Cole's saying is that you bring a new part, the public is made aware of it, but you would know.
Yeah, so I think we would know if Checo was running a different floor than Max. Correct. I think it would be like it'd be verifiable because it'd be a different part that the FIA
It also would be obvious upgrade. Because the size would be different of the car, the floor.
Maybe.
And well, it's just how it's like mounted, right? I still don't understand the whole inner work.
Yeah, you might not be able to see it from the side, but either way, I'm pretty confident that it would have gone through the normal process of introducing a new part to the car, and then the FIA would, when they publish their stuff every week, it would show here's how many new parts are brought to the car, and it would name a floor. I would think.
Yeah,
that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Unless if it's just like a modified version of that one and just doesn't flex as much or something. So it's not considered a new part. I don't know.
But either way, Sergio has had two off weeks in a row. And Helmut Marko's not happy. Helmut Marko's never happy.
Yeah.
But
if I was Perez, I'd tell him to go fuck himself. If you gave him a 2-year what are you going to do?
I would too. Like, I'd go.
Yeah. This is Perez having really the first cracks of this season that show why he was never why he's never been in that talks of being a potential world champion. Not that this makes him a bad driver. It just I think it's showing where Max is like consistently good. Leclerc is pretty consistently good. Yes, he makes a couple mistakes here and there. Lewis is pretty consistently good. Where I think you're starting to see that, like we were talking about last week, where Perez is probably if there's a tier one, Perez is a tier two, and I think it's you have bad races. Everybody's got bad races.
Yeah.
And I think you just happened to string two of them in a row here. So I don't know. We'll see.
Should we talk about Mercedes?
Do you want to talk about Mercedes? To. I guess we have to. I was just gonna skip them this week. Kidding.
I guess I don't really have a lot to say, except that it's hard to tell if that car is good. It seems like it's definitely better. I don't know if it's that much better, but at the beginning of the year, they weren't sniffing poles. So the fact that they can even squeak one out is,
I was quite surprised by their speed here. And I think they were too.
Probably.
I don't think they were expecting their car to do this well at this track.
Because I don't think they were as quick as it looks, though.
Yeah, I think they were still probably race pace destined for, I mean, probably should have been fifth and sixth.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, we were talking
maybe,
about it, right?
Maybe fourth and fifth.
They should have been fourth and fifth in this race because there should have been two Ferraris and a Red Bull on the podium.
But this is why, I mean, this is what makes Mercedes Mercedes.
Yep.
Is that they have more podiums than Ferrari this year.
They're tied.
At 11?
Yeah.
Either way. So they have as many podiums as Ferrari, which is bad, right? Because I think Ferrari has the best car. They're a little bit slower straight line, but they have more downforce. It just depends.
I think it would have been a great fight between them and the Red Bull. I think it's pretty even on a lot. If you look at all like the speed things, it's always like plus 0.01 second. I mean, it's essentially the same exact speed.
So it's like, on the medium tires, I'm looking at race pace. So that's the second stint for everybody. Everybody was on medium tires at this point. They're all essentially trading lap times, like lap over lap. Max sets the fastest one, or Massa sets the fastest for that. Lewis sets one, Leclerc sets one, and they kind of just go almost in like in a circle here. So I think on race pace,
well, you can't just look at that
not
though,
that far behind.
You got to look at traffic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Over the aggregate, over like 20 laps, they're essentially all equally setting. Like I'm faster than this next one's faster, and that's traffic and that sort of thing.
I still think Mercedes is a step below the two. I think it's got the gap is closed a little bit depending on the track, but I think the past couple races it's just been Ferrari fuck ups. It hasn't been Mercedes actually showing anything.
And I still think that they're going to end up ahead of Ferrari in the championship.
I think there's a really legit chance that happens.
How far are they behind? Like 30
it's like 30 points somewhere around there. I can't remember exactly now.
Is it that much? Teams. Yeah, it's exactly 30 points. So Red Bull's got 431, Ferrari's got 334, and Mercedes has 304. Damn near 100 points in the lead. Wow.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, from a championship perspective, it's just at what point is Max and Red Bull going to clinch it? I think my Austin prediction is looking pretty good right about now.
I think so, because I know, like, basically Max could DNF three races in a row with Leclerc coming in first right now, and I don't think he would.
Right. Right. Because what's the difference between first and
258 to 178 is the difference between them right now. Can you guys do mental math?
80. Yeah, they're 80.
Oh, look at you guys.
I don't need to do 80. I already knew 80 points. I put it in my race breakdown on latebreaks.com.
Look at you. Plugging the website.
But so 7 points is the difference between first and second. 7 times 9 is, somebody help me out here.
I hope I'm right.
It's 63. Oh my fucking god.
Okay. So at this point, if Charles wins every race and Max comes in second, Max has it locked up. Right?
Yep.
So they need Max to they're at the point already where Red Bull has to start screwing up.
Yep.
Right?
Badly.
Which is not a good place to be at the summer break.
The only option that Charles somehow has, and this is such a fucking far-fetched option, but it's if somehow Max and Lewis start getting pissed off each other again, start taking each other out. That's it. That's the only way I can see him.
I think you got a better chance of him retiring mid-season than that. Lewis isn't going to start that shit up again when he's...
Oh, I'm well aware. That's my point. Oh, yeah. There is zero fucking chance.
The other chance is...
Or reliability somehow blows up in the second half of the season.
Yeah. But even if that happens, Ferrari would have to increase their reliability significantly. Right?
Yeah, that's the problem with Ferrari. They're either completely like destroying themselves on strategy, or the cars are destroying themselves, like literally blowing up.
Yeah, when the strategy's looking good, the car dies.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh. It's so bad. But it should have been a really good year. And I guess the battle for second probably will be interesting going forward. But at this point, it's over.
It should be interesting though, because it's over. But I think from the championships, it's not over. I think it's close to over. But the other more exciting part is like Mercedes is back up front now. Maybe not every race or every track, but to me, there's more of a chance for a mixed up podium now. I think in the first half of the season.
I don't think
But how many of those podiums are going to include Ferraris and not include Red Bulls?
Oh, I think very few.
Very few, right?
I'm talking about race excitement on an individual.
But if you look at the past couple of races
and if Ferrari didn't fuck it up, we wouldn't be talking about Mercedes getting double podiums back to back. Like they would have been four and five.
Yeah, but so I'm counting. History shows that they're going to continue to fuck up. So that's what I'm saying. On an individual race by race basis, the podiums might get pretty exciting.
No, and they should be. I think we'll have really exciting races in the back half of the year, but not from a championship perspective like we had last year.
I think it's going
to
get...
You'll have to take each one in a silo.
I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting year, second half of the year. I don't think it'll be as exciting, unfortunately, but we'll see.
You think it'll be a boring second half of the year?
I do.
On a championship level or like just like individual races?
I think both. Because like if you're not fighting for the championship, yeah, you still want to win the race and you want to watch it, but it takes that extra umph out of it, right? So it's like if Max comes in second, okay, who cares? Doesn't really do anything. He's still going to win. Like I hate to say that.
Yeah, I don't think Max is that mature. But I think he'll do it on a one-off here and there when he knows he's lucky, but I think he's going to race his ass off to win.
When Max is comfortable in the lead, he does not care. If Max was tight, he cares, obviously. But like when Max is like, what am I going to do? Like Max knows that if he starts crashing out, he loses. All he has to do is finish to win.
Yeah.
That's all he cares.
You're right in the sense that there's no stakes.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what produces really good racing, especially at the front. So like I think the race between Max and Charles will be really good, but it'll kind of be like this week and last week when whoever's faster, they kind of race each other for a lap, maybe two, and then it's like, all right, just go ahead. It's what it kind of feels like now, what's happening between the two of them.
Yeah.
But I also think at some point, I don't think we're there yet because Max knows that he can't afford to draw Charles in because you never know what can happen. Engine penalties in the second, towards the end of the year.
Max thought that.
So he needs to keep a comfortable gap.
Before France, I would have completely agreed with you. After France, and then after this week, I think he knows it's done.
I don't see Max being the type of person that's going to just settle.
So here's the thing, and I don't know how much Max cares about records and stuff. I get the sense he doesn't really care, but he's got a really good chance at tying or beating the single season wins record. It's 13 and he's at 8. So
I think he's going to care about that.
5 more with 9 to go. And he would be in the record books with Lewis, Michael Schumacher, and I think Sebastian Vettel.
It should be Seb because Seb had the most wins in a row ever.
I think all three of them are tied at 13.
Senna's up there.
No, but they didn't have that many races back then.
And that's when Max won, he became, I think he passed Sebastian for Red Bull wins. He's like, it's stupid. Like you have more races, so the stats are kind of worthless.
But that's in every sport, right? Yeah. Like the quarterbacks now have more passing yards. Like all those records are falling just because they.
But at least, I guess they're playing a different amount of games. So yeah.
Like they used to play 12 games or whatever, right? 14 games. So, but you're still, the record books are record books, and they don't put an asterisk. You know, it's not a wins per race record; it's a wins per season. So that would be Max's incentive to keep pushing, is if he cares about. I guess call it legacy, maybe.
Which he does not. I think he's made it pretty clear.
I don't think he does. Yeah, because he doesn't seem like, after he won the championship last year, he's like, anything else is a bonus. Yep. I did what I came here for.
He's got that Nico Rosberg mentality of like, I'm a champion now, and I don't really give a fuck what happens. He's like, I'm still going to try and win.
Yeah.
but except like
he's 24.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been racing since like, he's 16.
He's like, I don't think I've made enough money yet to retire, so well, I have to keep racing.
My jet's not big enough. I've got to offset all these carbon emissions that Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton are fighting for, and put more fumes in the air with my big jet.
Yeah. Well, now that his father-in-law is banished to Brazil, it's a lot of miles he's got to fly for family holidays.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cole, do you want to rip on Haas for a little bit?
No, I don't really want to rip on Haas that much. I want to say, you know, for people who haven't been quite following Formula One, like technical stuff, Haas brought out a white version of Ferrari. I gave Aston Martin a lot of shit earlier this season for ripping off Red Bull and creating a green Red Bull. And I am not here to apologize for that. And I'm going to explain to you why. Aston Martin is a high-performance supercar company. It's conceivable that you would expect that they have a fundamental idea how to make a fast car. They don't, so they copy a company that makes energy drinks. Haas makes the most precise fucking copy machines in the world, right?
It's true.
They don't design fast supercars, right? So when I see an Aston Martin driving down the road now, I'm not like, oh, that's a supercar, that's a Lexus, right? Like, it's comfortable, it's sleek looking, but it's not that fast. Haas, they're doing exactly what their brand sponsor, their title sponsor, Gene Haas, where he made all of his money, he's doing what they know how to do. Replicate shit. And to do it to a high degree of precision. Now, they're not fast.
Yet.
But it's the first time he's in that car. Ever.
And we never really got to see.
Yeah.
It was cold.
It wasn't a great. He got his front end wing knocked off.
Yeah.
He's got to get used to the car. Everybody else at this point in the season is fairly used to their car. This is a fully new concept. A bit. They should have had a lot of data from the simulators on that. If Ferrari's allowed to share that, I don't know. They weren't that fast, but I'm going to give it to them. They did exactly what they should do. They're not hiding behind anything. They're being pretty clear that they copied what Ferrari did. And we'll see.
You want to know what my concern is really quick?
Yeah.
They're copying Ferrari too much. They're copying the fact that they have their car and they're copying their fucking strategy. They're both stupid.
They didn't have a, I don't know. Usually they have bad strategy.
I'm just
they
talking usually try in to general.
Go on an off strategy.
Yeah.
This race, they were forced into it.
No.
They were forced into it this week. I have another reason why I don't think we should panic about Haas. And that reason is it makes sense for them to copy Ferrari.
Absolutely.
Because they have a Ferrari engine. Aston Martin is in a Mercedes engine and they're like, oh yeah, that looks cool. That's fast. That works for them. Let's copy that exactly. Instead of saying, okay, well, we see how Ferrari packaged their engine. Let's try to design something like that. It works for them. It fits with the philosophy of the car. Let's move in that direction. Aston Martin is just like, hey, look, that car goes fast. Yeah. So let's do that.
I saw a pretty funny meme that was like, it was like Lawrence Stroll holding up the, what is that? The gauntlet that the Thanos has in the Avengers, like the thing that's got all the Infinity Stones or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like he's got the Mercedes engine, he's got the Red Bull stone, he's now he got the Alpine driver, and all he needs now is like something from Ferrari, and he'll be like the greatest ever. So if we said, because he'll have all the Infinity Stones to launch into his Aston Martin comeback.
I don't know. I don't know. Haas is just so weird because they have double points and then 15-16. And then double points and then 18-19.
How do you feel about Mick being faster than K-Mag this week?
Well, it's not good for Haas's sake, the fact that the upgrade is slower than the real car.
Well, I'm just saying in general.
You said Mick
should be faster. I think that's two races in a row.
I don't put any stake in this race because K-Mag got his end plate taken off, put on the hard tires.
Mick was on the hard tires as well.
Yeah. Was he...
I'm just curious. I am defending Mick a little bit, but I believe you stated start consistently beating your teammate, and
the only reason he beat his teammate is because
I'm just Kevin waiting for the excuses.
Okay. K-Mag outqualified him, and then K-Mag got hit, and K-Mag was 25 seconds behind Latifi in 19th place after he got hit. There's
nothing wrong with that.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not like
Latifi was P1 out of FP. What was it?
Then he qualified P20. I don't.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second? Motherfucker sets the fastest first sector and then comes in last.
Yeah. Well, he lost the rear end coming out of one of the turns and lost like 4 seconds. Man. So
freaking hilarious. I thought he was going to do it. I thought he was going to put on pole at that second. I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
Could you believe it? Like, if something just snapped in his head and all of a sudden he's quick now,
not just quick, like, but like better. Imagine him and Max going after it, dude. Who would you root for? Like, Risk, who would you root for?
Latifi, 100%.
Oh, dude, Latifi versus Charles, I'd be like, come on, buddy. Oh, Canada, let's fly these flags.
Oh, Canada,
I would love to see that shit.
Never. I could not, I would stab my eyes out more listening to the Canadian national anthem on the podium than I do when it's the British national anthem.
I do,
because God save the Queen. First off,
God save the Queen. We talk about,
yeah, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Yeah, I don't know why they play that song there. It's kind of weird.
You know, I didn't realize that until you said something about it a couple weeks ago. Until Silverstone, and I was like, holy crap, it is. Which came first, though?
Oh, I wonder.
All of these freaking European national anthems are like Soviet death marches. They're like the most boring, drawn out national anthems. I mean, geez, oh, Pete. The United States national anthem is best in the world. Fucking cymbals, big crashes.
First off, you're wrong. The Italian national anthem is 10 times better than the Italian national anthem. How did that I U.S. know national he was anthem.
Gonna say that?
Dude, have you heard the Italian national anthem? It's actually a banger.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a long, slow, drawn out symphony.
No, it's a banger. Google it, dude.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Okay. All I know is most of these European national anthems come out with a piano and
like a harp.
They're awful. They are awful. It's like, why did you go? Like, they're just picking, like, okay, this is a famous composer from our country. Let's go through and pick a song that he did that we like.
Okay, so you love the U.S. national anthem.
I do.
Like, how much do you love it?
It's not on my top 10 Spotify playlist,
and that's what I was going to ask you. That's a comedian who's a bit like that. Everyone says they love it so much, they're not fucking listening to that shit. Like,
yeah, it's because I'm forced to hear it every time I do anything that's in the public. So,
but I'm also a hardliner because I'm willing to point out when someone messes it up. Like the fact that there's even a Super Bowl bet over under, like national anthem time, is ridiculous to me. Because it should be 100, it should be a minute 30 every time. Sir? And anything over a minute 30, this is a Wendy's.
That is my favorite fucking prop bet of all time.
Me too.
And you are disrespecting it right now. And I don't appreciate what you're doing.
The amount of analysis that goes into that.
Oh, this is great. I'm not saying I don't like betting on it. But what I am saying is that if under doesn't hit, I'm pissed. Even if I have over. Like, especially when it's set, especially when the over under is like 205. Like, 205, that should be a shoe in under. It's also got to be the easiest prop bet to fucking manipulate.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. We're wildly off topic here.
Wildly off topic, but that's all right.
My point is, I don't really want to see Latifi win.
I'll try to figure out how
really we got for the this. Fact. I don't want to listen to the Canadian national anthem.
That's right.
All right.
Oh man. Sorry. That was my fault.
So K-Mag was Mick Schumacher beat him, but he didn't beat him on pace. He didn't outperform him this weekend. He got lucky and got ahead of him once. If he could put if he could do that five more times, I'll give him credit for being able to put himself in the right place at the right time. And
he's done it four races in a row.
I made my conditions clear a couple races ago. Mick Schumacher from Austria. No, when did he score his first points? Austria needed to score in half the
Silverstone.
Okay, Silverstone. So then they did well in Austria, right?
Yep.
And then they sucked in France and they sucked here. So he's not scored points in two of the 11 races I said he needed to score points in.
So, you said he needed to beat his teammate.
We'll have to run the tape back. Because I said, I think I made different tiers.
I think risk was more harsh.
Yeah. He's in... Well, I think I used the old person death analogy, right? He's in hospice right now. We'll move him back to the old people's home if he consistently beats K-Mag. And we'll let him go back and live by himself if he scores points.
Well, that's my question. He's done the last four races. He's beat K-Mag. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, but there's been extenuating circumstances. It wasn't on pace.
But there's always extenuating circumstances. No,
but there was like, I got hit by somebody else. That wasn't my fault. And my engine blew up.
What I'm getting at is when I make those arguments with Charles Leclerc, you both jump on my back and tell me I'm a fucking idiot. But
that's not true.
We never blame Charles. We never blame Charles Leclerc for his engine blowing up or his throttle pedal sticking.
The only time I have blamed Charles this year was when he spun out 7 seconds in the lead last week.
Oh, that one.
And either way. Okay. So. Yeah. I like Charles Leclerc, and I hate that you love him so much, you're making me not like him. And I like Charles. Just like your hate for Lando Norris makes me like him more.
See, your like for Lando Norris makes me hate him more.
And this is why we are
cyclical. Okay?
No shit.
Who's British now? I don't want to spend too much time on this because I think we've been going pretty long already, and I think there's some news we'd like to talk about. But Danny Ric, man, not good.
Not good. Yeah, not good. Good weekend from Norris, too.
It was weird because Danny Ric looked great in all the free practices. I mean, like, great. And then just fell apart on Saturday and Sunday.
About 2 seconds on Saturday, he looked good.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was like fist pumping. I was like, oh, here we go. Overtake. Yeah. Yep. Ended down the inside. And then like five laps later, he crashed into Stroll. I'm like, okay, there we go. I don't know. It's not good. Not good.
Not good.
And Lando, top four qualifier on the grid.
Yep. Killer.
And not just where he qualified this week. I think he's one of the best one-lap racers out there.
I think he's showing this season that he is able to outperform the car, because more often than not, he's falling backwards in a race.
Yeah.
So he's outperforming what that car is actually capable of in qualifying.
Right, and he's getting passed because.
But he's getting passed because the car's actually not as fast.
Right. The cars that he's losing to should be beating him. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right. News? Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. I think just we missed it. I didn't really miss it last week. It kind of happened the morning we released the podcast, we'd already recorded it. There's two big pieces of news. I'll touch on one of them real quick, which is Porsche buying 50% of Red Bull. So that deal's happening. The only reason I bring it up is because I want to go ahead and I tweeted it. So there's a official internet logged statement of this prediction that nobody can change. But 2026, Porsche, Red Bull, Sebastian Vettel is making his return to Formula One in a Red Bull.
You think he's gonna... Not a chance. Okay.
He's going to pull... The same move that his mentor, Michael Schumacher did, coming back with Mercedes out of retirement with a German company, bringing back an iconic German driver.
Did Schumacher come back 4 years later?
I think it was three.
It was a pretty big gap, yeah.
It was a pretty big gap.
Red Bull's not going to do it. There's like somebody that's not even going through puberty yet that they're going to try to put in that car before Sebastian Vettel.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. We'll see what happens. But you heard it here first. But talking about Seb, the bigger news is Seb retiring from Formula One for the time being. And Fernando Alonso leaving Alpine at the end. Well, not leaving, but I guess, yeah, leaving Alpine at the end of the season to go to Aston Martin.
Yeah, don't really care about Seb. I know you guys are big. I'm totally ambivalent on Seb, except for the fact that I hate his guts. No, I don't hate him. I'm annoyed with all of his political statements. I don't like listening to it. But he seems broken still. Ferrari broke him. His heart's obviously not in it.
I don't think he seems broken. I see he's a 100% different man now than he was at Ferrari. Like he seems so much more relaxed and chill and happy. He was the Ferrari. He was not like that.
Dude. Yeah,
he
but
was,
there's no
the last two seasons at Ferrari. He was a different person.
Right.
Like, he's back to the old Seb.
There's no fire though. You know
what
I mean?
Funny, there's been three different Sebs. There was Red Bull Seb, who was kind of an asshole.
Huge asshole.
Like really an asshole. And then there was sad Seb. Sad and angry Seb at Ferrari. And then there was
he was happy Seb for a little bit at Ferrari.
A little.
And then he became angry Seb again.
When he's walking an Egyptian onto the podium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had gleeful, zenful Seb. he blew out the flow. He stopped shaving. He looked like he was going up to the fucking Alps to smoke pot every weekend.
Gotta save the bees, bro.
Yeah, hippie Seb.
Love
came
it.
Out. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. But I don't know. I'm sad he's gone. I liked him.
I'm not going to miss him. I'm glad he seems like he's happy. He has other things he wants to focus on. Good for him. Go do it. It's to each his own.
Part of me thinks that he was kind of forced to retire.
I don't think so.
No, they wanted to sign him.
The Fernando deal happened too quick.
Well, because Fernando immediately got on the phone and was like, hey, bud, 2 years? And they're like, yep. And he's like, okay, deal.
So the thing is that Aston Martin tried to sign Fernando before.
Yeah.
And they couldn't agree to terms, or no, it wasn't. I don't know if they couldn't agree to terms, or he wanted to go to Alpine because that's where he won his national championships. Jesus Christ, his championships. And they signed Seb, but once they signed Seb, they're like, oh, they just wanted a clear winner who's marketable. So they wanted to keep Seb, and Seb was doing great for them because Seb could actually set up a car, you know.
I'm going into conspiracy theory time. I know Risk likes to live there sometimes.
Live there, dude. I own property there.
He doesn't even visit it. He owns the property there. I think that two things happen. I think that Seb pissed off a lot of the certain sponsors. They don't sponsor us. Fuck it. They pissed off the Saudis, and they put pressure on Aston Martin. And Seb wanted a multi-year deal. And they told him they weren't going to get a multi-year deal. I think that Fernando likely approached Alpine early in this season saying he wanted a multi-year deal, and they said no. So I think that when Seb pissed off the sponsors for all of his stuff and some of his political stances and things he's been saying real publicly, I think that Aston Martin told him they weren't going to renew his contract, and they went and signed Fernando. I think this happened months ago. I don't think this happened suddenly over the course of 2 days, like the PR departments are saying.
I think it happened suddenly.
Maybe.
I just
They were trying to re-sign Seb.
Yeah, they were trying to re-sign Seb. They were very adamant about that too.
That's what they say. About that.
And then he just showed up and said, "Nah, I'm done."
That's what the press releases have said. Remember, we're in conspiracy corner right now.
You're in conspiracy corner. That's not even a good conspiracy.
Oh, come on.
But anyway, so my prediction, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. I know I've said that like 18 times today. I think the driver market is pretty much set at this point because Daniel Ricciardo is not going anywhere. Yep. I don't think so.
But I thought he was dead.
He is dead, but they refuse to take his corpse out of the fucking car. it's like the fucking hearse drivers on holiday.
On holiday? I thought this was an American podcast.
Hey, if you could say twat, I could say holiday, okay? I think, Zeno, you're right about Sargent to Williams.
It's insane for a while, man.
They're pushing that way harder than anybody else pushes their young drivers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did want to ask you guys, Cole, maybe you probably follow this a little bit closer. That guy, Drugovich or whatever his name is, who's leading F
right Felipe now, Drugovich, yeah.
Nobody really talks about him, but would he not? I know he's not in any academy, I don't think.
No, he's not.
Is that a free agent?
Yeah, he's an art guy, I think.
Like a Yuki replacement, maybe, or I don't know.
I don't think so. He's a good driver. I see him as probably somebody that like a Mercedes would look at if they needed to, or because they don't really have.
Who?
Just I'm talking about for the driver academy. I don't know who would pick him up in F1. I don't think Red Bull would because they've got a pretty big stable of young drivers and.
But none of them seem all the way down to
5 years old. Yeah, but there's already so when they went and signed Checo from outside the program and didn't put Albon or Pierre in that seat, apparently it made a lot of Red Bull drivers nervous. So I'd be really shocked to see them go outside of the academy again, at least for the near future when there are so many. They could pull like a Yuri Vips up or well, I guess not Yuri Vips anymore, but like one of those other guys. That. Yeah, Lawson is probably not too far off. Alpine could add him to their stable, make him a reserve driver. I don't see it as a Red Bull guy, or I don't see Ferrari picking him up either.
Because that seems to me like the only spot really in question is
Williams.
Yuki's. Well, Williams too, but. I think
it's Logan Sargeant.
All he has to do is top five in F2, right? Which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he'll be fine. Third right now. He's quite third. A bit back. There's no way he wins it, but he's come on strong. I think.
He's gotten really unlucky the last two races where his car's crapped out.
We also forget, retired, but. Like Williams is owned by an American hedge fund or something, right? So
I've been saying this for a while, man. As soon as he started doing well, like. They tweet more about him.
That's another reason I'm going to give some credit to my conspiracy theory is I think they have known for a while that Piastri wasn't going to come over. Now that all this is happening and they started building Sargent's brand with the F1 team, I think they've known for a while that Fernando's going over to Alpine and Piastri's not coming to our team.
But like I said, I think the last podcast is counterpoint. I don't think they cared what Alpine said.
Counterpoint. The whole theory was that Piastri was going to go to Williams, and that assumes that Alonso is going to resign. If Alonso has been struggling to resign, like, hey, I want 2 years, and they're like, no, you get one, and then you're off to our LMP team or whatever, then maybe the talks cool a little bit on Piastri going to Williams, and they start bumping up Sargent.
Right. So. That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's why I think. That points back to that.
But that's not an Alonso to Aston take. That's an Alonso no longer in Alpine take.
Yeah. But who would have thought that Williams would be the one to bring?
Me?
Well, you've been saying it for
a while.
Two podcasts now.
Well, since he won that race.
And that was Silverstone. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he started popping up on my like Instagram feed promoted. And I was like, what the fuck? This is weird.
Yeah.
I don't follow Williams. And they're just all about him.
So I'll have to go back and look at the data. Like you can actually go look and see companies or ads ran by companies. So you can, and same as for Facebook, you know, it's Meta or whatever. So you can see like when did they start like increasing their ad spend on Logan Sargeant. It's all
I had never heard of the kid until data. He won that race. So I don't follow F2 also. Gotcha. But anyway. Should we go over predictions and then call
you
it?
You know,
a day?
He speaking of Logan Sargeant really quickly, he competed versus Piastri, I believe, in F3 and almost beat him, should have beat him.
Yeah.
In F3, and something happened in the final race where he had to retire the car. That wasn't his fault, or he made a mistake. I don't remember what it was, but something happened to where Piastri ended up winning it. But yeah, he should have beat him, this guy that everyone's obsessing over. So the guy's got talent.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The kid's definitely got talent. So, I guess if he can get into Williams, I think that'll be helpful. I mean, so much of getting F1 and getting that career's timing, I guess. But I don't think another year in F2 would hurt him if there wasn't a seat open.
I don't either.
But if there's a seat open, you got to take it, I think.
Yeah.
I want to see them put Jamie Chadwick in F2 anyway. So.
Especially.
She'll go to F3 before she goes to F2.
Yeah, she should skip F3.
She's fucking phenomenal. She's won more than that.
I think for the sake of W Series, she needs to leave and just go somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, is she won 3 W Series in a row?
No, she's won only 2. They only had 2.
But she's going to win her third this
year. She's won back-to-back. And this year, she started off winning every single race. I think she won, like, I can't remember, 6 or 7 races in a row. Dominated.
They just need to put her straight into F2. Because those W Series cars are essentially the F3 cars.
Well, they put her... I'm going to mess this up, but they put her in before she went to the W Series, she was in like Formula 3 Europe or Formula 3, and she did not do very well. Mm. And so that's why she kind of like degressed, so to speak. And so that's what they're saying is like after she won her second W Series, they tried to find her an F3 seat and they couldn't. Huh. But I'm really hoping they can get her a seat because if Logan goes up, then they'll have seats everywhere. So hopefully they can figure something out.
No, there's no experience like F1 experience. So especially it's different if we're talking about going into the Red Bull meat grinder.
Yep.
Okay, maybe it's better to delay it a little bit.
For Williams, Williams, he needs to get up as soon as possible.
They're willing to stick with somebody, right? Latifi's been in that car way too freaking long.
And it's their homegrown talent, makes it a huge difference. They're going to be a lot more leaning, like not leaning, but a lot more forgiving, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because that's their guy, you know? Usually they're just forced... People are forced upon him because of money or teams, but anyway, we can do predictions. Well, we won't do predictions because we got a whole month off.
Yeah, but we should just go over results.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
All right. This was let me just do a quick scan here. Combined lowest point total of the year.
Awesome.
By quite a margin. Hell yeah. By at least 10 points. By at least 10 points. Things got a little bit out of hand, I think, with our predictions. But full race. Okay, so Max wins, Lewis second, George third, 1 DNF, and Alpine and McLaren tied for best of the rest by virtue of a Lando Norris 7th and Alpine 8th and 9th. That's both 6 points. So Cole scored a... whopping. You guys ready for this? 0
points. 0. 0 points.
I had 2 points for correctly predicting Max Verstappen on the podium. And Zeno had 5 points.
Yeah, buddy.
Because he got Max on the podium and predicted Alpine. So what that means is Zeno extends his lead.
Damn right.
Even further.
Thankfully, it's the lowest point total still.
25 points. So Zeno has 172. I have 157. And Cole has 154 going into the summer break.
I pulled a
full. This is, I will say.
Full-blown Ferrari collapse over the last several weeks.
Yeah. This is the last time that I don't pick Max to win.
As you should, because... This was the first time, right?
This was the first time, and he won. And the only reason I'm anywhere close to the top is because I have gotten the 10 points every all 7 times that Max has.
Okay, then I'll just pick Max every race then too. Easy. I win.
Cole will battle for second.
Well, so here's the problem. When you're in
false checkout.
Yeah, good luck. Well, you have to pick first. So
yeah, you have to pick first.
Yeah, you have to. That's what I'm saying. You got to pick some. I'll just pick Max first, easy, because that's what you're going to pick. Because you just told me. And then.
Or am I?
Or is
okay.
He?
Yeah,
big brain stuff over here.
Okay. Don't pick the guy who's winning the championship by 80 points. Yeah, that's a small move.
I know. We made it in the beginning, so like you couldn't pick Mercedes as the best of the rest because they weren't at the front. Now you got a dude that's winning like
I think
near 70% of the races.
Like, I think, and we can talk about it. I mean, we have a lot of content we got to create here next month, but we should maybe think about it.
Creators now.
Yeah, buddy. Maybe think about it to where we do like a draft. To where
I do like that. Yeah, I do like that idea.
We did that for the sprint race, and that was kind of fun. That's a season two. That's a season two.
Well, deal. It's the second half of the season. We can talk about if we agree or not.
Well, you're acting half. Like this championship's over. Come on, bud.
Yeah, okay.
We got sprint races left. We got freaking engine penalties.
P1 max. Just getting used to it.
Yeah, you still got four Charles other things to go through, though.
The only time I'm going to pick Charles is Monza out of just pride. But other than that, I'll pick Ferrari.
And that's might be the worst track to pick Ferrari at.
Oh, it's the stupidest thing you can do.
Given the fact that Red Bull is faster.
But
so
he wins
anyway.
A spy, he wins again at Monza. So I fell in love with the kid.
That's where we're at. I will be sending out the spreadsheet maybe tomorrow. I'm gonna do some preliminary checks. Go through the data, do an internal audit before I welcome in
that. That way we don't auditors. Ridicule you next week for basic Excel mistakes.
and then we'll go from there. All right.
Sweet. Well, in the meantime, check us out online. Trying to get some more content out for you guys on our website. Keep clicking those ads. Maybe y'all clicked last week. So we could
there was no ads for me. I tried the click. I logged in like 3 times. I didn't see any ads.
Okay, so maybe we need to get on IT support here.
How much money have we made?
It was a whopping.
Don't open the books.
Whopping. 69.
Hell yeah!
Don't click on nothing.
Don't click on anything.
Yeah. I remember that.
Is it cents? Is it dollars? Is it hundreds of dollars? Is it $69,000? Nobody knows.
No, it's cents. It's worth 50 cents.
It's cents, yeah.
Full transparency.
Yeah.
We get 23 cents per ad click. Me, Cole, and Zeno have all clicked an ad. And we have 69 cents in the bank account right now.
I feel like we've peaked. We can stop this stuff now, guys.
We can't even. And the worst part is you can't even access that 69 cents to get to $100. So,
Jesus,
y'all help us unlock this hostage situation.
If any of our followers have the phone number of a Pakistani click farm,
I was gonna say if any of our followers are a Pakistani click farm, because we do have some Middle Eastern views.
We really.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Where from?
Don't tell me that.
We have some in Moscow too, which is a little scary considering how much shit I've talked about. It's probably Nikita, but
dude, can we get him on the pod?
Probably.
Nikita, if you're listening, please join our pod. Yeah,
absolutely.
I just want to ask him about the clouds.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm a big meteorologist.
That's kind of a joke, but it's not
no,
really.
It's not a joke. I want to know about the clouds.
Yeah.
He's gotta hate Red Bull so much or Netflix so much for making him say that.
Oh yeah,
making such a big deal about the fucking clouds. Oh man! All right, let's get out of here.
Also, Latifi, if you ever want to come on the pod, open invitation.
Look, if you're involved with F1 in really any way other than taking out the garbage shit, even if you take out the garbage, let's interview you. Could be fun.
Yeah. If you've ever been to a race. Inside the ropes or outside the ropes, talk to a Formula One related person. We'll have you on the podcast. If you've met Charles Leclerc on the street, we'll talk to you.
Absolutely.
That's about it. If you have one of those YouTube videos where you recorded yourself reacting to the 2021 Abu Dhabi Grand
Prix, we don't want to talk to you on the podcast.
No, we do. 100%.
I hate react videos, dude.
Yeah, we've got a
No. Not reaction videos. Them filming their live reaction to the race. Those are awesome.
That's kind of
ballsy. Go look up some of those. Go
look up some of those. What if he
loses? Oh, well, either way, it's great content. I watch those twice a month.
But if that was the case, you guys should have a video camera on me for every single race if you want to see some good content.
Could be fun.
It's not fun for me.
Just stewing on the couch.
It would be me drinking copiously, saying very bad words, and throwing things.
All right, I got an idea. So what we need to come up with is we can't rebroadcast Formula One, right? Because that wouldn't be legal. But maybe we make we host a Formula One drink along show, like live on the internet during the race.
Live.
Are you Ted Lasso original fans?
Yep.
That's actually Ted Lasso too. So.
Yeah, but still the original fans.
Yeah. All right. That. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back this summer. We're not going anywhere. Podcasters never sleep. We don't take breaks. We'll be back this summer with some exciting content.
And we'll see you after our 7-day break.
We'll see you after our 7-day break. All right, everybody. Peace out.